The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez. Oh, I'm messing with you.
You are hot to trot today. Whoops, I'm banging my mic. I'm Christy Matthews, and we have had a morning already. We're hustlers, yep. You guys. Like, I think in the last 2 days, we've done more like podcast stuff one way or the other in the past 2 or 3 days than I wouldn't say than we've ever done before, but certainly more than I'm giving time to anything else in my life.
On another level.
Yes.
I'm a hustler, baby. I just want you to know. I had to get that out because you said hustler. So yeah, we've been doing this for over 2 years, but it seems like there's a little shift happening and very exciting things. There's a couple announcements. You know, one is we have someone editing, you guys. We have an editor, and I know she's listening right now because she's editing this episode right now.
That's what we pay her to do.
Because we... Our Veronica is her name. Editing is her game. She is, you know, our saving grace right now because it's fucking wedding season. Okay, Veronica, listening, thank you so much for coming into our lives. And I think that my couples, my brides and grooms, and can thank you as well because it's wedding season and I'm planning a few weddings and I can focus on those weddings and not be, you know, stressing out that I need to be editing, you know, 3 shows. So welcome, Veronica, our editor, to the team. We are so, so happy to have you.
Now can we say cool things like edit that out?
Yeah, like Veronica, by the way, if you're listening, edit this out.
We would never say, we would say edit it out, but then we expect her to keep it in. Just because that's our brand.
Well, no, don't say that because then she might do that and it might be something we don't want in there. I guess we'd have to
specifically say, yeah, but wait, we've done this for over 140 episodes. When have we ever had to go back and like actually take a chunk of our stuff out?
This is true. Yeah. So
we've learned some lessons along the way.
Veronica, keep this in. Veronica Gruba. Veronica Gruba is her name. And we're so happy to have her on the team. It makes me feel like even more legit than we felt before.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Which isn't much.
Are you texting?
You know I'm trying to put out that fire from just 1 minute ago. But
oh, no.
It's in the works. It's in the works. Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah. Like I said, we've had a morning and, you know, we've always got a lot of balls in the air, y'all. So
balls.
That's what's happening.
That's funny when you say that.
Well, one big, big, exciting announcement, other than the fact that we have an editor now and that makes us feel legitimate, is we have a Facebook group community.
I love it so much.
And it is only the beginning of this interaction, this kind of special interaction with listeners and like everybody in there now, which it has grown exponentially in the past couple of days. Everyone in there is commenting and helping each other and, you know, probably similar to other like positive, helpful Facebook groups that you're a part of, except that we are also a part of this and it will include special announcements about the podcast. And we have a listener helping us so much to admin and facilitate the group. And we will certainly be like rolling out new things and features and fun stuff through that group, including something that we're both really excited about, but also have no idea how to do and do well. And that is like Facebook Live talks and things like that, where we're answering questions as we're going and we're ranting and raving and we're giving you some behind the scenes stuff. So if you haven't already, please join that Facebook group. It's the Big Wedding Planning Podcast community. And you just ask to be approved and we approve and then you're in there. And so far, I can say that we've, between the two of us, we've commented or addressed every single person or question or introduction. I think we have. I keep checking because I don't want anyone to feel left out. But eventually, we will not be able to do that.
We have over 100 people on it now. So it's going to get, you know, and you guys are running with it yourself, too. Like, you all are posting and talking to each other. And I guess that's the whole point of this.
It is. It is. We'll be able, we will definitely be active. But
yeah,
I imagine that one day when we are more organized and we have, well, we are organized. I guess one day when we're dealing with more and we're learning how to deal with more, with some social media help, which we're also kind of in the works with and is very exciting, then we will be able to post on that group and answer questions, you know, a certain amount of times per week. And between the two of us, we try to cover everybody because we just love that you're saying hello to us. So that being said, we actually didn't have as many emails because so many more questions were coming up on the Facebook group.
I think because they're on the web. Yeah. And that's fine. We could pull from there too. But can I just
say,
at Kat's wedding gown on our Facebook group, Kat, that you look freaking amazing. That dress is insane, right? Kristen commented on this too.
Yes, I did.
And
I love that they're that listeners are posting those dress shop. It's basically like fittings, dress fittings, because a lot we've heard that you guys and gals are happy to have a place where you don't know anybody in person. Or in your small town, because a lot of towns have these kind of groups, I guess, like the Pittsburgh one we learned about. So it's like kind of a safe space, right? Like, here's a picture of me in my dress.
They're really talking about deep stuff here, too. Holy smokes. Okay, I got to get off this.
Yeah, so we will read.
This is good. You guys get on this group.
I think one or two of the questions of Yawa today are from that group. And so, in fact, one, I posted my answer, but then I also posted some of the suggestions that other listeners gave.
Oh, really?
Yes, including Christopher, who we did consulting with, member, because he was like a big-time patron.
Yes, and they got married,
and they got married, and they sent us pictures, and now he's on the group, and he gave some really good advice to another couple. So, you guys,
I love that.
It warms our wedding planner hearts to the max.
Ah, this is so cool. So this is so cool.
Hit it up and, you know, comment there. And then on top of all of that, what we give in that group is, you know, maybe a paragraph answer to a question, but what we can give you, if you want consulting, is 2 hours of our time on Skype, one-on-one. You know, you have me or Michelle, I'm talking to you and your fiance, I'm talking to you and your mom, I'm talking to you and your maid of honor, I'm talking to just you. It's really great.
Are you talking to me?
Really good value, we think, and everyone's getting a lot out of it. So if the Facebook group is like something you're getting a lot out of, just imagine how much you would get out of 2 hours
one-on-one
of talking to us. Okay. So consulting, we do it. Email us for information. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast at gmail.com.
Boom.
On to reviews.
Reviews. I love them. Okay. Let's see. Okay. 5 stars. Amazing is the title with 2 exclamation marks. These ladies are amazing. These ladies are amazing. They not only give you great advice from different points of view, they are entertaining. I love that they include make this a conversation and get... Veronica. Let me start that again. Sometimes there's errors, you guys. Yeah. We're not perfect. We don't, you know,
no,
we don't
but
like
it's
that
actually
we're perfect.
Written. There's like an error in how it's written. So it's not you, Michelle. It's not you.
Yeah. Okay. 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 All right. I love that they include, maybe that they're inclusive. Make this a conversation and you get to know them on a personal level. They love their audience. Yes, we do. And truly care about them, that we do as well. They give away free advice, also, yes, we do, that is worth hundreds and answer everyone's emails. This, to me, is the most valuable thing. Thank you, ladies. You are so welcome. Thank you for writing that review.
Okay, next review. Where would I be with that TBWPP?
Oh, that rhymes.
It does. I love a good rhyme. It's from Mari, soon to be Lacey. You know who you are. I've been listening to podcasts almost every day since I've been engaged, and this podcast is one of the best. Learning and being entertained at the same time for free. Thank you guys so much for the dedication it takes to produce this content. I don't know where I'd be in my planning journey if it wasn't for you. You also make it easy to fall in love with planning. Or maybe I'm just one of the ones destined to plan more than just my own wedding. LOL. I love swimming in wedding details. So every podcast is delicious.
Ooh, delicious. I like that. Okay. The period best. Period. 5 stars by HKP. I can't believe that this was the first wedding planning podcast I stumbled upon on my initial podcast search when I got engaged this past January. I keep scrolling as if there is an episode I missed because I binged the entire podcast, like I watch Friends on Netflix. Me too, girl. I listen on my way to and from work. When I get home from work and my fiance asks me how my day was, the first thing I tell him is what I learned on TBWPP. We have learned so much that we otherwise would be clueless about, as wedding planning is uncharted waters for us. So much of what Christy and Michelle talk about on the podcast has come up in our planning process. What kinds of questions to ask your wedding planner? What is the difference between a planner and a consultant? What the heck is a California bar? How to give a toast? Tips on how to structure your timeline. And I had no idea that wedding insurance was a thing, and so, so much more. They have awesome guests that really help to give you some sense of how you might want to personalize your wedding. I bought the book Lucky in Love via referral of this podcast and read it over the weekend. Lastly, they don't forget the important part, the actual marriage. I appreciate that they have guests on that support the importance of relationship therapy, emotional health, and physical health. Christy and Michelle, don't let you forget that, yes, the wedding is a big deal and should be a wonderful day, but this whole thing is about everything that comes after the party, your marriage. This podcast won't disappoint. Thanks for all the time and energy you two put into this show. Thank you so much. You are so welcome.
That's such a great review because it's flattering, but also has the detail about the actual episodes. And I'm sure she was just typing that off the top of her head, but the episodes that stood out, which she sort of rattled off all of our popular episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so awesome, you guys. Oh, God, I'm tingling.
Okay, well.
Up above.
I got to blow my nose. Sorry.
Tingle. You always
because
Veronica,
my cat, my one giant orange cat can open
the fat cat with the little head.
That's the black and white one. The orange one's just big orange? Boned all the way around. The black and white one is like a massive cat with a teeny tiny head. It's hard for her. Anyways, she can open the door because the door to my closet has one of those like pull down handles.
They're very smart.
So every time I'm in here recording, she opens the door just wide enough for her to scooch through, and she lays right at my feet. And for some reason, I'm not allergic, but I think just being in a closed space with her right there always makes my
dander.
Nose start to run.
Do they
run.
Go outside, Christy?
No, my God. They
good.
Would,
okay.
They would never know how to survive.
Yeah.
Oh, she's like hugging herself.
Wait, I never hear her purr. She must not be a loud purrer.
No, she's not. She's pretty chill. We wonder if she's all there, honestly.
Something's wrong
with
her.
Yeah, we just think like she may be a little like Forrest Gump level.
Okay.
You know?
Well, that's just who she is.
Like we would send her
there's
to
nothing
a,
wrong.
We'd send her to the public school, but I'd have to bribe the principal, you know, like Sally Field did in that movie. Remember when she comes out and she's like, you're going to the school, Forrest.
Oh, yeah, on Forrest Gump. Yes, that mama, she took it for the team.
She really did. She really did. Okay.
Off topic, but I love that movie. Okay.
Who doesn't?
Email one.
Yes.
Shall I?
You shall.
This is a good. Okay. Yeah, I remember reading this.
This was from the Facebook group. Hello.
This is from the Facebook group. Absolutely. Flipping a room during cocktail hour. You guys, a lot of you out there are probably experiencing this. It happens all the time. Okay, here we go.
Wait, hey, brides. Wait, before you read it, tell us, like, just because she didn't put a ton of info, you, Michelle, tell us what that generally entails, like, to do.
Okay, so this happens a lot. So you're in a venue, or for example, I'm doing a wedding in September outdoor at a home. Ceremony happens in one location. Ceremony is over. We move guests over to another location for cocktail reception for 1 hour. But after cocktail reception, we need to go back to that same ceremony space for dinner and dancing. And so we need to flip that space, meaning pull the ceremony chairs out, bring the tables in, oftentimes bring the dance floor in, put the linens on the tables, put the flowers on the tables, whatever, put the cake out, whatever it is. We are transforming that space from ceremony to dinner dancing room. Got it?
Venues usually have different ways to do it that they've done before, whether it includes air walls or just pushing tables or, you know, there's various ways. But the whole key to a flipped room, if you're doing it at a venue, is that your guests go from one space out to another for cocktail and then come back into that original space and it has been transformed. So that's the idea. And this bride is saying, she's asking, hey, everyone, go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're doing that, just a side note, ideally, your guests don't see it happen. There are cases where you just can't get away from that. And so they will. But ideally, they don't see it happening. So you go to a whole nother area, or you, like Christy said, there's an air wall, or in our case, in one of my weddings, we're renting boxwood hedges from the rental company that are going to, like, slide across, you know, because it's outside.
A lot of times at hotels, it's a ballroom and then you go out into essentially the hallway where
the
they
lobby
have
area,
the lobby where they have cocktail hour set up, which it sounds
not
like
the lobby
she
of
did.
The hotel, but yeah, the hallway. You're right. More of the hallway out front of the ballroom.
So you read her email real quick because it's just her small details.
Okay. So here, this is from our Facebook group. Hey, brides, my entire ballroom is being flipped during my cocktail hour, about 1.5 hours. Guys, side note, also, this is when you want a little bit longer than an hour cocktail reception. Not too long, though. Make sure you have something happening during cocktails where people aren't going to get bored. You got music. You have maybe some sort of entertainment. Maybe the butt sketch guy is there. I don't know. The ceremony with 200 guests will be turned into the reception room with about 25 tables, dance floor, 2 buffets, etc. My venue manager seems nervous about this, but my month of coordinator is very confident in the flip. As a bride, is there anything I can prepare ahead of time to make sure this goes smoothly? How did you organize your decor to make it easier for the staff / wedding planner? Thanks.
I love this question because she's asking, like, as a bride, which means she understands that her wedding coordinator is going to, like, take the lead on this, but she wants to know, like, how best to set her up for success. So that's kind of where my angle for the answer was. And I said, just, you know, real quick, some quick hints here. Low centerpieces and, like, candles and decor, everything is, like, stout or heavy or low, not heavy is to where they can't move the tables, but no candelabras or tall, you know, thin, slender vases, anything that can be tipped over if you were to move a table.
And water,
like,
spilled
two people
everywhere.
Pick up a table. Yeah. And it helps if the centerpieces are on already rather than having your candelabras and centerpieces on the floor or in a corner or in the back. Then they move the tables and then they put the centerpieces on. If you can pick the kind of centerpieces, which are totally popular and beautiful right now, where the vase itself is, you know, 6 inches high and pretty low and wide. And then that's easier. So something that you can imagine being set on a table and then that table being carried by two people 20 to 30 feet while chairs and other staff members are also being set up around them. As far as the dance floor, and I didn't mention this, but that can be down ahead of time.
Yeah,
and
it can.
Just, you know, your ceremony chairs can be on top of it. It's not the most ideal, but it is, the dance floor should not be something that, like, throws this whole thing, because at the end of the day, it can just go down for everything. Okay. And then as far as your timeline, don't...
And can I add something to the dance floor, Christy?
Oh, sure, sure.
If your aisle that you're walking down, you know, you're going to see the dance floor like on part of it, and that bothers you for some reason, you can, from a rental company or maybe even buy it from a store, rent a white carpet, like carpet that you see in a house. You know what I mean? Not aisle runners. I mean, you could do an aisle runner if that's your jam, like if you're into it. Some people don't like aisle runners, like the paper thin ones. But you can rent a carpet, a roll of carpet, and roll it out. Mm-hmm. And it'll look really, really cute. And then that way there might be a bump in that carpet, but it won't be like, you know, ballroom floor bump, carpet, of a dance floor, ballroom floor. Or, you know, you could carpet it all the way down.
And actually, side note, we, the two of us, would always prefer a rolled out rug or carpet or almost anything to a flimsy
white
aisle runner.
See-through.
Because outside or inside, runner. Those are tricky.
Yeah.
People trip. And they get bunched up. They're easily blown around. Nobody wants to walk on them because it's white and the guests think it'll be dirty. It's just... a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So another hint is that on your timeline or when you're thinking about your day, do not plan for any post-ceremony photos in the ceremony space or the altar space. A lot of times people do like the family photos at the altar right after the ceremony. The whole point with the room flip is that you clear that entire room entirely as quickly and smoothly as possible. No guests in the room equals faster flip. And that includes you two. So pick another place in the hotel or on the property where you can walk right out and get those photos done if that's on your timeline. As far as timing, I've seen ballrooms, like extensive formal ballrooms with altar decorations and installation, flipped in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But it definitely takes an experienced catering staff.
And space in the sideline wings for those tables to be staged already, Christine.
Yes.
Sometimes you just don't have that space.
Yes. It's not going to be 30 minutes if you're like actually rolling tables, pulling out their legs, laying the linens, chairs, silverware, all that stuff. It's faster when there has to be room, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that your catering manager, venue manager is a little nervous about it would make me a little nervous. So I definitely suggest that your coordinator and that manager are in touch and communicating about this well ahead of time.
And your coordinator needs to have an assistant with him or her on the wedding day because she or he is going to have to be really overseeing this flip and speaking with the banquet captain if that person is nervous, and let the assistant be in cocktail reception while this is happening and probably running back to help her get things set up once the tables are back, you know, in the space.
It needs to be a well-oiled machine. So if the catering manager themselves brings up that they may need to add a couple staff members for a few hours from setup to flip to make it happen well, I suggest just nodding your head and paying that upcharge if it comes to that. Also, I wanted to note that I've done weddings where it worked really well when they did do a pretty big altar installation, like, you know, bigger podium florals or even a full hoopah up there. They used that for the cake area afterwards so that it's repurposed, but you don't have to break anything down of staging or the big arrangements. They don't necessarily have to even be moved very far. The cake table just gets put into it. And then it still functions as a focus area in the room for the reception. And as we've said before, it's always good to spend your decor money on the areas that are photographed the most. You get the biggest bang for your buck. And that's like the cake table, the head table, where you enter from. And those can still be focal points in a flip. They're the same. It's in the same spot. It's just a different thing. It's not an altar. Now it's a place for your cake.
Yep. And did you mention or did this come up at all that if you use florals for the ceremony to repurpose those for the reception? Did we talk about that?
No, we haven't. Just those altar flowers I just talked about.
So oftentimes too, you might, like if it's outside, for example, oftentimes there's like shepherd's hooks or something, or florals like tied to the chairs that are flanking the actual aisle that you walk down, make it so that those florals are easy to pull off and then put onto guest tables or a windowsill or the cake table, like you said, or a sign-in table or, you know, family photo table. Like, make them easy to pull off and literally like place fast and quickly onto another space mm-hmm. for the reception.
Yes, very good.
Very good. Okay.
And the next question was an email that I answered.
Okay. This was a good one. Red flag on vendor contract. This is very interesting. Okay, here we go. I was reaching out because we were reading the contract. This is of the wedding planner, right, Christy?
Yes. They hadn't hired her yet.
They hadn't hired her. I was reading their contract and came across what we believe is a red flag. The contract had a, quote, disparagement clause.
Disparagement,
which I'm sure... What?
Disparagement clause.
Disparagement clause. People
are seeing more and more, so it means, like, something along the lines of... If you sign this, you're saying that you will not like leave us a bad review, Yelp about us in a negative way, you know, post anything publicly that is a negative comment about our company. And it goes to like the Yelp complex right now that is everywhere we go. So it's sticky, but finish the email. I mentioned
it's sticky, but okay, let's go ahead. I dug a little deeper and wanted to get your opinion on some of the things I realized. I guess in the excitement, and the fact they worked for Disney weddings previously, in quotation marks, I love Disney and used to work there too, I didn't ask all the questions I should have. I'm going to ask these at the contract review, but I realized, or assuming, it seems they're actually new to the local scene. I asked during the interview process what their favorite wedding was to work on, and they named a stylized shoot they did in town, which was beautiful, and how I actually found them. But that's how I think they're getting themselves out in the market. They must have partnered together after working with each other at Disney. I can't seem to find any reviews, and I want to believe it's because they're new to the scene, or it's because of the disparagement clause. But with a disparagement clause, it prevents negative reviews, and I can't find negative or positive reviews. They're not even on the big websites, you know, that we look for, the big wedding hub websites. I figured even with a disparagement, there would still be positive reviews, but I haven't seen any. That being said, the disparagement is still not good. I figured they picked this up from Disney because while Disney has a special place in my heart, they are still a corporation. I might be making excuses, but I really like them. Based on their stylized shoot, I was really expecting them to be out of my budget. But again, because I think they're new to the area, their proposal wasn't bad, fueling my assumption now. I know I should be running away from this, but I really thought it was meant to be until I saw the disparagement. If it's not something that can be removed or revised...
Her partner.
My partner does not want to work with them, which is fair. I'm going to ask again in more detail about their experience. So maybe they'll be willing to negotiate. But besides that, do you have any advice on how to go about pushing it in the right direction?
I love this question. We have not talked about this yet. And I think more and more contracts with like Instagram being basically the way that couples are finding vendors now, more and more contracts are going to have these, and I have some opinions about them. So I don't love the clause. I have seen them. I've seen them worded all kinds of ways, and I've seen them on all different kinds of vendors' contracts. I do think it's a red flag. Also, in my opinion, it's an amateur mistake. So trust me when I say I hate Yelp. I hate that whole culture, but I do play the game. There's reviews everywhere in the wedding industry. It is what it is. I have a Yelp page. I ask clients to leave reviews after, you know, we just have to have some kind of presence. Anyways, some disparagement clauses are technically illegal. So it depends on how it's written, you know, with free speech and consumer rights and all. I've actually talked to lawyers about this because I've encountered it myself when, you know, somebody might give you some sort of threat or whatever. And it turns out, like, consumers have a right to share their experiences. So in my opinion, vendors that put this in are trying to protect themselves, and I get that, but they aren't very experienced. So it sounds like a good idea in theory, but I don't think it is. I don't think it's a good idea for the vendor or for you. Here's the thing, though. More than the disparagement clause, something to note is a styled shoot is very different than a real wedding. I have lots of opinions about styled shoots. So does Michelle. We may even make it a bonus episode rant for all of our patrons when they get bonus episodes. So styled shoots are not even close to running a real wedding. I'm not saying that this company won't do a good job, because they may very well do a good job. It doesn't have anything to do with their styled shoot experience, is what I'm saying. Which is why it's concerning that they named the shoot as their favorite when you asked them. I understand that everyone has to start somewhere. So new companies are not necessarily bad companies. I can say I'm a way better planner now than I was when I first started. Of course, that's only natural. It comes with experience. But I priced accordingly. I was pretty cheap to hire when I first started. Michelle can attest to that. She was taking a commission because she was giving me those first couple weddings. But we were both really transparent about my experience. So every one of those first couples that I had, I worked my ass off. I still do, but I was learning a lot. This company could do a great job for you. That being said, you should absolutely ask more about their actual wedding or event experience, and also ask to see some of their work. Not photos. You've already seen photos. They're beautiful. But ask to see some templates, some timeline examples, an example of a setup list or something like that, some paperwork that they might use when they're running a wedding, so that you can see how they operate. Just because they worked at a company like Disney doesn't mean that they're going to be great event coordinators on their own. You just need to dig a little bit more. So I agree that you should ask them to totally remove the disparagement clause, and additionally ask more questions. Write some out and then ask them more questions. Be organized, vet them a little bit, ask for references. I've had a few clients ask me if I can provide some emails of former couples that I've worked with. And, you know, with permission, I have done that. And it helps people to ask some questions of each other about how I work. And I think any good planner who's confident in her service would do that.
I have never had what's called a disparagement clause in my contract, but years and years ago, and Christy, you know about this, there was a couple whose wedding I planned, and
it was rough.
And listen, I did my job. I worked my ass off. I had worked with these people, this family before on a sibling's wedding. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing experience with that sibling. All people are different. And this particular person, I don't know what was going on in this person's life personally, or what happened after the wedding, or what was going on, but there was a problem, and this person sent me a letter. This person's father was a very, you know, high level executive who had access to a lot of
lawyers.
And this person was, you know, telling father things, and father at one point didn't like the order in which I was planning the wedding, thought certain things were priorities over others, whatever it is, right? But end of the day, I worked my ass off. I did a great job. The wedding was fantastic. There is such a thing as defamation of character, where there are false statements made. And I believed that these statements were false, and I was very upset about it. And I too had a lawyer
after the wedding.
Who wrote back after the wedding and said, no, 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 no. And it was dropped. Mm-hmm. There, nothing happened. But because of that bad taste and that heartache that I experienced, I did put at one point, there was a whole paragraph in my contract about defamation of character. Mm-hmm. And it was really, it scarred me for many years.
Yeah.
You guys.
Oh, I get it.
I had that in my contract, but it's not there anymore.
Well, one thing that people might see that's not technically a disparagement clause, but it might be worded in a similar way that would make you think, oh, they don't want me to leave any reviews. It says something along the lines of, if there are any issues during the process or after, I want you to commit that you will come to me first with those issues so that we can see if it can be resolved or explained or worked out.
That's exactly right.
Between us before the next step is taken. Because sometimes people leave shitty reviews. Maybe they're warranted, maybe they're not. Like on Yelp, I've had somebody go back and be like, the cake was beautiful, but working with that cake baker was a fucking shit show and I wouldn't blah, blah, blah. And the cake baker was like, what? They never came to me. If they had, and I knew how unhappy they were, I would have refunded their money. I would have offered that just to, because I care about customer service. But you can't get it both ways. You can't leave a bad review and also ask for a refund, because then it's a lose-lose for the vendor. They're going to give you your money back and still have their name out there in a negative way. It's very tricky, and weddings can bring out the best and the worst in people.
Yes, they can.
So we are very sensitive to reviews and those experiences and how they're communicated between us and our clients, but also between our clients and all of the vendors that they work with, many of whom we have set them up with. So at the end of this story with this particular listener, she did bring up a lot of concerns with the company, and they are going to end up hiring them, and she feels really confident moving forward. The company had no problem revising their clause.
Yeah, that's another thing, people. You might see something in a contract that turns you off, but you don't know the story behind it. That might be just like because something happened at some point. And if you talk to that wedding professional and say, hey, this part of the contract, I don't love it. They'd be like, oh, dude, that was in there from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that. I'll take that right out. Yes. Like, it's no biggie.
Yes.
You know?
When in doubt, talk. Yeah. Talk to people.
Communicate. People.
Ask questions. Be polite.
One of the big C's.
You might be surprised.
Something you need to do in marriage, too. Your relationship. Communicate. Okay? All right. Shall we?
Yes.
Move on.
Moving on to a very important sponsor.
Zola, our friends at Zola, who have been with us since almost the beginning, are the sponsors of this episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Zola is the wedding company that will do anything for love. They are reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moment in couples' lives even happier. We can speak to that. We hear from our clients and our listeners all the time how much they love Zola and how happy they are. From engagement to wedding and decorating your first home, Zola is there combining compassionate customer service with modern tools and technology, all in the service of love.
You all, Zola is the easiest way to plan your wedding. There's over 500,000 couples using Zola. They have a free wedding website for you with hundreds of designs that are fabulous. They've got your wedding registry covered, so easy to use and so user-friendly for your guests. They've got save the dates, invitations, so many planning tools that you can use. It's like your hub for planning your wedding. It's convenient, easy to use, and all in one spot.
Everything is connected. So put that Zola registry, which is so fun to do, by the way, on your wedding website so that guests can get all the details they need. They get your wedding gift. Any gifts left over that hadn't been purchased, you can get them yourself. That's what's so great about it. It also makes the registering easier because there are cool options like gift cards and travel vouchers. Airbnb is on there. That's awesome. If you already live together and you have everything you need, travel a little. Register
honeymoon. For that. Honeymoon. And there's free shipping, returns, price matching, and more for this registry. And Zola has the best completion discount with 20% off any remaining gifts on your registry right after your wedding is over. Whatever gifts you registered for that you did not get, you can buy them with a 20% discount, not to mention...
our listeners have a special deal to start your free wedding website and also get $50 off the registry on Zola. Go to zola.com/bigwedding. ZOLA.com/bigwedding for $50 off your registry.
Yes. So Zola loves you. We love Zola. You love Zola. It's a big friggin' Zola love fest. We love you all. Thank you, Zola.
Oh, very good. And then this next email is about more thank yous. I wanted to say that we get a lot of emails and now posts on this page about parents, moms, parental involvement, who pays for what, how do we make decisions? And this email that came in that Michelle's going to read was a nice, refreshing, different twist on the email about parents.
Oh, I'm so intrigued. Hello, Christy and Michelle. First off, I just have to say I love listening to your podcast. I started listening randomly to different episodes a week after I got engaged, and it has helped my fiance and I so much when it comes to everything weddings. It also helps me get excited and dream about the wedding when I'm at work. Not very many people at my job really want to talk or hear about weddings, so I don't really get to talk weddings during the day. But listening to you girls makes me feel like I'm talking to my girlfriends and just getting excited. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question. You're welcome. I have a question for you that I was hoping you could answer. My parents and my fiance's parents have helped a lot with our wedding that is coming up on October 12th of this year. My parents are paying for about 3/4 of it, and I have actually had a wedding fund since they knew they were having girls. Wow! Nice planning, parents. They're so excited about it, and also the best supporters ever. They never, ever push their opinions on us, and when we ask them for their opinions, always want us to decide what my fiance and I want. They are supportive through everything, listen to us talk about the wedding, and even contact people for us. They were exceptional when it came to the guest list and only wanted us to invite who we wanted. They were so good, I actually had to get stern with them to tell me who they wanted because I want them to have people they want to be there too. Anyway, I can't say enough nice things about either of our parents and feel very lucky. My fiance and I would like to thank our parents somehow during the wedding or on the wedding weekend. I have thought about maybe paying for our moms to go to the spa or something like that, and I definitely want to make a very short thank you speech during the speeches of the wedding, but can't think of anything else. Do you guys have any suggestions or ways to thank parents at weddings? Things that you have seen or done yourselves? We just want to show them how much we appreciate them in some way, even if it's a little thing we can do. Thank you again for your help. You can give in advance. I know you are both super busy, and I really appreciate the time you give to all your listeners.
Yay. Okay. Thank you so much for this email. Like I said, we get a lot of emails from listeners having a hard time with their parents during wedding planning, especially with the paying and pushiness topic. Or on the flip side, people have really sad, difficult, heart-wrenching things that are going on with their parents, and they're struggling maybe with whether to invite them or not. So we get all that. Weddings are fraught with family stuff. You are very blessed to have parents like you do, and it is clear that you don't take that for granted. I love this email. Thank you for sending it. So I wanted to just put a spin on this at the top, which I did not include, so I hope you're listening. Think of it as honoring your parents on the wedding day and including them as, like, it's a celebration for them and of them too in many ways, rather than just like a blanket thank you situation. Of course, you've thanked them all along the way for, you know, at minimum, the money that they're spending on it, but also honoring them throughout the day because, and I say that I always, as a wedding planner, go up to the parents after and usually like put my arms around the mom while she watches her son dance or whatever. And I just always say that it is a testament to good parents when their adult children are getting married and are happy and believe in love and believe in marriage. Even if parents are divorced or single or have been divorced multiple times, they watch their kids get married, and it is heartwarming. I mean, as a parent, you just want your kids to be happy, and that counts for when they're adults, of course. So it's a big day for your parents. They're not the center of attention, and they shouldn't be, but it is a big day for them all across the board. So yep. I think including them in your toasts on the wedding day, like you said you were going to, is a great idea. Make sure everyone there hears you thank them profusely for their support and love, and also for hosting the wedding. That will be very impactful. A spa day for your moms, or arranging something similar for them to do, maybe together. That would be nice. They can get to know each other even more. The day before or something like that also sounds very nice. Also, you can consider paying for hair and makeup on the day of. We've definitely seen that done before. And as always, I will suggest a written thank you card to each parent from both of you that you both put some thought and time into and sign. That always makes a lasting impression. I am always and forever will always be pro thank you note. It is a dying art. We need to pick it up, people. That pretty much goes for anything. Other creative ways I've seen couples honor or thank their parents is by including the songs that their parents maybe danced to at their own weddings. And this can be cute. As a surprise. You can also have the DJ announce it, say like, this is a special song and why. It can come after the mother, son, father, daughter dances if you're doing those, or it can just be played during dinner. And I've seen at some weddings that the parents heard their song. It wasn't what their first dance was, but it was actually the song that the mom had walked down the aisle to herself 30 years prior. If you played that, maybe your parents will get up and just dance a little together right then and there if they feel the desire.
Start making out.
It's a sweet gesture. Yes, yes. You can light the flame again. And it's a sweet gesture, whether it's a surprise either way or they know it's coming. But, you know, sometimes a song can take us back to another place in a wonderful, like, emotional way that is refreshing and feels maybe a little different than just a toast or somebody speaking words might. Also, displaying their wedding pictures at the wedding, mm-hmm. or a current photo of them together is a nice touch as well. I've done ceremonies where the parents' marriages were mentioned during the ceremony by the officiant as something that the new couple is going to model their own after, or find inspiration in, or has learned lessons from. You can elaborate on this with your officiant and turn it into something that is framed in a really meaningful way, specifically for each set of parents or multiple sets of parents, if you have that. You know, if there's step parents involved, and for many of you listening, there are step parents and, you know, maybe boyfriends or girlfriends or people that are parent-like figures in your life, you can find a way to personally honor all of those people in a ceremony script or later in the reception as well. Lastly, I've seen some couples that write out or have typed out an actual thank you paragraph to their parents, and it's in the ceremony program. So everybody that's sitting down before the ceremony starts is kind of reading it, and it's a more public display of that. And it's something that
PDA.
Yeah, it's something your parents can keep afterwards as well if they want to. So lots of options. Do some, do all. All will be very appreciated. And I hope this helps. And I want you to keep us posted.
I know. Tell us what you do. It also would be nice if you just, like, the thank you note, like, going off what Christy said. You know how, like, oftentimes the couple will write each other little love notes and, like, have somebody hand it to them on the wedding day while they're getting ready or whatever. Like, if you took the time to write a really lovely, you know, letter to each parent and then gave it to them on the wedding day,
mm-hmm.
you know, like right before the ceremony or something, you know, something from the heart, that's also really, really nice.
Yes, of course.
All right, last one. This is from...
also from the Facebook group. And this has some other answers, not just mine.
Okay, cool. Unfortunately, this is going right
into it. Yeah, they get right into it on that group, which is...
Yeah. No BS, man. Unfortunately, we are unable to afford a month of coordinator for our November wedding. We have a close family friend who is organized and that was gracious enough to fill in for that position on our wedding day. We're so lucky. Does anyone have advice for what I'll need to do to prepare and help her prepare for the big day? I want to make sure this is a seamless This is as seamless as possible for her. Thank you in advance.
Okay, so first off, somebody in this position is better than nobody in this position. Yeah, so we will say that. We highly recommend month of coordinators or wedding day management. Some planners are calling it that. But we understand it's not always in the budget. We get that. So having a designated friend, coworker, stage manager, you know, distant relative who wants to do this and promises you that they won't like get drunk and party instead. Very, very good. So good to have. We've seen it. I've seen it done. I've been guests at weddings where that was done and it worked. Working on a full day of timeline with her is going to be the biggest priority. And I mean timeline like down to the 5 minutes mark. What are you doing with your little mustache? You're distracting me. She's using her cord.
I'm sorry.
You look like Charlie Chaplin or something. Okay. Anyway, working on the day of timeline, big priority. This needs to include, and we've talked about this on our timeline episode, maybe send that to her. Actually, send all of our episodes to her. Tell her their friend that's doing the...
Thought you went to the... Yeah, have her listening to our... Is it two-part or three-part series on the wedding day timeline?
I think it's three on timeline. So it'll... She has a piece of paper or her Excel spreadsheets out, that will help a lot.
She needs to listen to that.
So quick, like, Cliff Notes version of that. What needs to be on it? It will include every vendor's arrival time, start time and end time per their contract, plus their day of contact info. It will also include the time that the venue is yours, the time that the party ends, and the time that strike must end. And this, of course, I'm just like bookending. It will include everything else. Just make sure you don't forget that stuff. If the venue has given you a terms, conditions, rules sheet, or if it was outlined in the contract, make sure you pass those on to her. She is the one that's going to need to make sure the trashes get emptied the right way or the tables get folded, you know, and put back, or, you know, don't use this closet and make sure your candle flame is not above the glass. All those rules. She needs to know the rules.
Special parking requirements for wedding. Yeah, load in.
Which garbage you take stuff out to. Can you guys tell that I've done weddings recently where I had to do a lot of garbage emptying myself? I did.
You did?
Yes, it was part of my job. From the wedding suite, they were going to do a walkthrough. And the wedding suite had to be picked up. And it was a disaster. Wow. It was like
Motley
Crue had partied in there. There was like flipped over chairs and like bottles of vodka. And I was like, oh my God. So yes, I did know a lot about like certain kind of trash bags fit certain kind of trashes, you know, things like that. Listen, I'm your everyman. Okay, the other thing so you have to do a timeline, do it with her, and also make sure that she fills it in herself so she's familiar with it. The other big thing is a ceremony layout or something similar to that. It's like a map or guide that she will use to facilitate the rehearsal and also have in hand when lining people up and queuing them for the processional. So this layout should also include song selections and any reserved seating assignments in the first two rows. And again, I'm being very general here, but these are the basics of what she's going to need to run the show. And then we got a couple bits of advice from other listeners, including Christopher, that we mentioned recently had his wedding. He said detailed timeline. And then also he said, don't forget to include who is going to be in the pictures for family photos, which is a good idea.
The
photographer should also have that. Help them because they're going to be running that list. Introduce them to key family members and key vendors. Yes. Also, make sure that they have the authority to make decisions for you and let the vendors and venue know.
Look at Christopher.
Yeah. And make sure that family and friends know how to contact them in that, like, you know, week leading out and not you. If you want that separation of communication, which many people do that week of the wedding. Also, be prepared to enforce that. Like, if a bunch of vendors are emailing you, the bride, and you want them to email your friend that's helping you, you have to facilitate that a little. And lastly, appreciate and recognize them for all their hard work. Good advice. And then another listener chimed in, Mandy, thank you. She said, one of the most useful things I've seen is putting your decor in boxes by area and setting them in that area first so that people know exactly how the string lights are going to go on the patio and then these lights are going to go, you know, behind the fabric at the reception backdrop, for example, which we did have a quick episode about, it was a Yawa where we answered questions about how best to store items.
Yeah. Final details checklist. Yes. Didn't we do
a Well, we did a whole thing about like bins and labels and have them in boxes.
This corner of your apartment or spare guest bedroom.
Just like what Mandy's saying is put those boxes, like right when you're unloading them from the car, put the box of ceremony decor up at the ceremony site or whatever per area, which is a good advice if you're having a friend run it. Also sending a bunch of photos to your day of coordinator about how you want things set up. Like do a mock setup if you have 20 cake stands and you want this like tiered cupcake display. Just set it up in your house at home, take a picture and send it to her so she knows.
Or print it out and put it in that box, I would recommend.
Yeah, which
do both. And we send it to her and put a print out.
Yeah, tape it on the box or put it in there. That will save a lot of time with questions, Mandy says, which is good.
Very good advice.
So photos definitely help, especially when it's not a professional that will be running the show. It is.
God, I love this freaking Facebook group.
Okay, so that's it. We didn't get any voicemails this past month, right?
Yeah, no.
So call us. Call us, you guys.
Can you please call us? Okay. And that number is 415-723-1625.
So we told you about Facebook. We are also on Twitter and Instagram. Twitter is TBWP Podcast. Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And we are going to be hopefully more involved on Instagram as well. But what we really want is you to send some of your photos, your engagement photos or your trying on outfits photos, like send them to us, DM us on Instagram. And if you give us permission, we will share them. We would love to have more interaction that way. Also on our website.
And make sure you give us the name of the photographer so we can tag that photographer.
Yes, yes, yes. And we will. And we'll just, you know, we would love to have more photos of you. Christopher, if you're listening, we need pictures of you and Claudel.
Yeah, what's up, Christopher?
They were waiting. They were still waiting for the professional pictures, but we can't wait to see them. And also on our website, we have a tab now to sign up for a newsletter coming very soon to those of you who've already signed up. And as always, you can email us, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. Great.
Okay, fabulous. Thank you so much, all of you, for listening. Happy planning. Christy, I love you and I love your show so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.